Morning, everybody. I get a real overwhelming sense this morning that God just wants to share with all of you that God really loves you. From the oldest person to the youngest person, whether you're online, whether you're in this building today, that God really, really does love you. And if you ever feel that you've ever done something that's unforgivable, it's not true. We serve a God that is a loving God, that is a forgiving God, and he is a great God. So as you're probably aware, we're in the middle of a series talking about our values. We're in the middle of talking about our relationship up with God, our relationship with people within the body of Christ, other Christians, and we're in the middle of our values talking about reaching out to people outside in the world. We're now in week two of our relationships within the body with other Christians. And last week we spoke about our relationship with God being the foundation stone to our relationship with other people. Our relationship with God feeds positive relationships with other people. Because when we're in relationship with God, we express what we call the fruits of the Spirit, the biggest of these being love. We need to be willing, as the greatest commandments say in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment for a reason. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We must express love in our relationship to other people, but we must also strive to work together with others for God's kingdom. For us to have unity, we need to be a like-minded people. We all need to have the mind of Christ. We must express love to others, but we must also strive to work together with others for God's kingdom. For us to have unity, as I said, we need to have a like-minded people. We need to be a like-minded people. And this week, we're going to be looking at how we spend our time investing in the lives of others and more practically what we do in those times. But before we do, I would like us to just keep in mind that whilst we are created for relationship with others, remember, we are also created for relationship with God. Over the lockdown period, it's been really apparent, hasn't it, that we need relationship with other people. I think people's mental health has struggled. And I must say, coming here on a Sunday morning is great. Being in the building with other people, seeing other people's faces is really great. And if you are online today and you're seeing us online, please find time to be able to meet with at least somebody for your own benefit. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 to 39, we're not going to put the scripture up, but we read about King David and his mighty men. These men were incredible fighters. They were incredible at defending their kingdom. And among these men was a guy called, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but Josheb Bashabeth, something like that. And in one fight alone, in one battle, he killed 800 men. He was a very mighty man. There was another guy called Eliza, the son of Dodo. Now, I don't know if you'd have much confidence in a guy being called the son of Dodo, but he was a man that whilst the Philistines were attacking, the Israelites fled, but he stood ground and fought them off. That's the kind of friend that you need, isn't it? David was not just successful because he was appointed by God to be king, but because he chose to surround himself with great people that God was using. There was a time where through David's own mistakes, he almost lost his own kingdom to his own son, who was very ambitious. But it was David's mighty men that came to his aid at his greatest time of need. And my first question to all of you is this: who do we have around us that in our time of greatest need is there to help us fight our battles? And my second question is this: in other people's greatest time of need, are we there for those people as well? I would hope that as a family, as a group of Christians, we would be the first ones to be there for those that are in great need, especially those in our family and the people that we interact with. For this to happen, I suggest that there needs to be some things that happen in that relationship with other people that might help us meet people in their time of need and help other people to help us. Firstly, and no surprise, we spoke about this last week, we need to have love for each other. We talked about that scripture, if we do not have love, we're just a resounding gong, okay? We need to have love for other people. Secondly, we need to have open and honest relationships with others to be comfortable sharing the hard times with people. But in addition to this, we also need to trust people, don't we? To share our lives, we have to trust others. And we need other people to be able to trust us as well. Last week, I shared that I love people that are honest and blunt. And it's because of this reason I like it, because I know where I stand. I also know where they stand. Now, obviously, sometimes if people are blunt, we can get offended. But we need to be quick to forgive, don't we? We do have to be careful with the words that we say. But honesty, I think, goes a very, very long way. If we're genuinely honest, I think that really helps in our relationships. The worst thing that we can do is say one thing to someone's face and behind their back say something else. I think gossip is a thing that happens all the time. Do you know what? It's funny, my wife, I'm going to bring her up again, she's going to hate me. She's from Brazil, and they do say things more like it is. But in this country, we do have this way of not saying what we think, but then happy to gossip to other people about it, don't we? I would like to ask for us as a church to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. We need to have a culture now in the church where we crush gossip. If we hear negative words, we need to say, do you know what? I don't really want to hear this. There's a difference between negative words and constructive criticism. We need to encourage positive criticism. And we need to be quick to forgive other people for the times that they hurt us. It's really hard to forgive people, isn't it? But if we can be to the point where we can always forgive people, it will help us in our situations. And lastly, I'd like to suggest this, that we need to assume that we are not more important than anybody else. In this room, we've got older people. We've got middle-aged people, we've got younger people, we've got children. And I want you all to know that everybody is extremely important and of equal importance. There is no one person in this room that is more important than another person. As a church, oh, hang on, I'm jumping ahead. The truth is this, that not just one of us, we don't just need one person around us, we need multiple people around us. I think everybody in this room, if we could surround ourselves with multiple people, would be really helpful. Those people may change through different seasons of our life. And we'll go through seasons we have more friends or less friends. Some people move away. Some people then come closer into our relationships. But it's important at all times that we do have people around us. And if you don't have people around you, I want to encourage you to find people to support you. As a church, one of our focuses this year must be doing life with other people. Obviously, our life groups are a key way to connect and create relationships. And firstly, I want to urge you, if you are not connecting with others in any way, then can you make time to build relationships with other people? Put time aside that will help you grow in faith, be encouraged, and help you in your journey in life. Life groups are a great opportunity to start the process of this. So if you're not part of a life group, inquire about it, see how you could be part of a group. Some groups are meeting online, some groups are meeting, starting to meet in person. And I want to ask you, are you good at inviting people in the ordinary things you do into your life? Such as eating meals, renovating your house, spending time with your children, doing hobbies, or even food shopping. You don't have to do anything complicated or plan a big program or structure. Can we do things just to invite other people into our lives? I like this quote from a guy called Edmund Lee, and he says this: surround yourself with dreamers, doers, the believers, and the thinkers, but most of all, surround yourself with those who see greatness within you, even when you don't see it in yourself. I want to tell everybody here that you are great. And believe it, you are great. And there are people in this room with a diverse amount of abilities. All of us are unique. We are all great. Let's not get big-headed about it, but we all have greatness within us. Last week we shared, Jesus saw people not as they were, but as what they might become. The potential that people have in their lives is absolutely great. When we meet, let's not try and judge people on what they are now, but what God will do in their lives and transform them into. There is always a point in life when we realize we are no longer the best at something. We're no longer the smartest, and maybe we're no longer the wealthiest. If we prioritize other things over our relationships with good, genuine people, there will come a day when we have nothing to show for our lives. On the 16th of August, 2009, Usain Bolt set the record for the fastest 100-meter sprint, completing his run in just 9.58 seconds. Anybody think they can beat that here? Depends who's chasing you. Maybe a lion, yeah. However, in 2017, after retaining his title and a few times, he came third place to Christian Coleman in silver and Gatlin, who got the gold. Whilst Usain Bolt was the fastest recorded 100-meter sprinter, presumably because he got older, because of his age, he is no longer the fastest man on the planet. Since his world record, just a month after, again in 2012, and Johan Blake were just 0.11 seconds slower than his original record. Usain Bolt has technically set the fastest record, but at the moment, he's no longer the fastest man on the planet. If in Berlin, Bolt had not set his record on that particular day, he would not have the fastest 100-meter sprint. It was down to the day, a good day, that he got the fastest time. Usain Bolt will always be really proud of his greatest moments, but there will always be someone out there that can now run faster than him. We must be really kind of willing to realize in God's kingdom, we are no better than anybody else. And even if we are in that moment, the season will not last. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 to 6 says this: there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. I want to ask, what season do you think we're in as a church, as a town, as a nation? What is our time? And I would suggest that we're in this COVID-19 season where it's been tough, hasn't it? But it's also a season where God does not expect us to shy away, but it's a season where he wants us to build. Not only does he want us to build, but he also wants to build with strong, godly foundations. Our relationship with other people is one of the key foundational stones to reach in our community. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others. Reaching people who do not know Jesus is not an easy task. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. And also, it's going to take a lot of rejection. Do you know sometimes you can put your time and energy into people and people will reject you? the amount of energy I put into young people. And there'll always be a young person by the time they get 18 and they leave the youth group. We'll never see them again. But it's still worth the time and the energy. Sometimes it can hurt when we're rejected. If we do not have others to keep spurring us on in our own lives, in our faith, we might find ourselves complacent, feeling lonely and demoralized. And I believe now, more than ever, this is the time for us as a church to get our house in order. Next week, Rachel's going to be talking about our relationship with others outside the body, investing in people outside the church. But if we're going to give our time and our energy to others, we must surround ourselves with people who are going to energize us. Do you know when you give out, it's a bit like a battery. It discharges. And you need to re-energize yourself. Spending time with God and spending time with godly people energizes you. There's something about when we meet in a building and we worship God together, where we sing those songs together, it energizes us, doesn't it? We do this great activity in the youth group. I don't know what we call it, but we have a bunch of cards with things written on it. Things like investor, anchor, inspirer. And here we put names on the back of the cards of people who help us through life. So people that inspire us. Who are the people who are our anchor when life is stormy? Who invests into our lives? All of us need a range of people. Are these people in your life? Are there people in your life that help you through turmoil, through hard times? If there are not, my challenge to you is, can you find people? Can you find people and position people in your life that are going to help you? I've attended quite a lot of leaders' conferences over the last probably couple of years, and this comes up time and time again. Leaders need other people that are going to support them. It is an absolute essential part of their leadership, because there will become a time where it becomes hard and they will feel lonely. When reading about Jesus, he had this amazing way with people. He always had time for the masses. And we read about miracles amongst crowds of people, such as feeding the 5,000. But Jesus actually spent most of his time with his 12 disciples, and even more time with just three of them, Peter, James, and John. Now, I spend a lot of time putting a program together for our young people on a Friday nights. But even at the times where the program is the best, when it's a brilliant program, if there is no genuine relationship at the core of that group, it just doesn't feel natural. Have you ever joined a new group and it just feels a little bit uncomfortable? And Jesus had this sort of way about him that wasn't complicated. He didn't complicate what we did. The disciples ate together, they went on trips together, and they did ministry together. And I want to ask us the question, as a church, what can we do more in times together, in our life groups, that make things more natural? It's not always when you come to a life group that you just want to hear a three-part Bible study, or you want to have a debate on when Jesus is going to come back. It's not always the most natural, but normal people usually want true friendship. We want this connection. We have this longing to connect with other people, to be able to trust people, to share life's exciting times, but also the hard times as well. And what can we do better to create better connections with each other? Have a little bit of a think about that in your own time. How can we connect better with other people and make those times more genuine? I'm not suggesting that we do not intentionally plan to organize. I know that there are some people and you've got kids and you have to book somebody to look after the children so you can go out and spend time with other people. But for some of us, it takes that more time to organize our diary, to spend time with other people. And Jesus was very intentional when he chose his disciples. He was intentional to share his ministry with them and to expose them to moments where God was moving. I notice across the board, men find it hard to connect to life groups. Is there any men in this room that find it hard to connect? And I think sometimes it's because it's not practical enough. I wonder maybe we can do more practical things with each other. I said before about even food shopping, doing DIY together, just spending that relationship with each other. Can we find things to do together? Normal, maybe mundane life events that can be more interesting by doing things together. Or even better, Rachel's going to be talking next week about how we reach out to people. Can we as a group of people go out and reach out to community and do some sort of mission out there together? In Jesus's ministry, he didn't just bring the disciples along for the ride, just for the fun of it, but he got them involved in his life. He taught them and showed them everything that he knew. They were with him when he performed miracles, but he also invited them along the journey when he was in his hour of greatest need. The night before Jesus was arrested and finally crucified, we read that he was grieving. And he still brought his disciples along with him in his hardest times, and they sat with him. Yes, they did fall asleep, but he still invited them along the journey. And he had such an impact on their life over those probably 3 years that those disciples went on to change the world. We wouldn't be hearing the scripture today if it wasn't for those disciples. We wouldn't be in church today if it wasn't for those disciples. There was something that Jesus did in those 3 years that he was with them that changed and impacted their life. He invested time in other people. I wonder, will we be the people that impact other Christians? To invite others into our lives, to build up, encourage and inspire others to do great exploits for God. Maybe you have been a Christian for a while, and there are younger Christians that you could bless with your time and energy, who could watch you at your best and also at your worst times. I believe that our time on this earth is short. Life goes very quickly, and it's important that we spend our time investing in people so that we leave a legacy beyond our years. That is exactly what Jesus did. He left a legacy when he was crucified. The disciples then left a legacy when they were, a lot of them were martyred. And it has gone generation and generation through there. I also believe this. Some of us feel that we're not qualified or experienced. But we don't have to be the most experienced people to invest in the lives of other people. I believe that we may have been Christians for many years, but we can still learn from those who are new to the faith. Do you know, bringing people who are new Christians can actually help us grow in our faith as well. Each person has their own story to tell with different life experiences. And some of those experiences are similar to the ones that we have. And we can also be reminded then of when we were going through those times of how God brought us through. It has this way of kind of building up our faith. There's also moments where people tell a unique story, something different that has never happened to you before. And sometimes they're still going along in that journey, and we can see God move in their life and get excited about what is happening with them. And most importantly, we can say through the hard times, we were there for that person. We were an instrumental part of their walk with God, and it brings fulfillment. Do you know, in the last few months, I've done quite a lot of references for young people, for new jobs, some people trying to get housing, for some of them trying to get passports, for some of them trying to get driving licenses. And do you know, it's those sort of things in life that they really appreciate. Some of these young people, I tell you, there's a young lady who is not even 18 yet, and she's living by herself in the YMCA. And she hasn't even got a passport. She wants to get a driving license, but she doesn't have the money to do it. We need to be a people that love people, that can help people and those generations below us. You know, for me, I've been through that experience in my life of having to get a new job, of moving house, of getting a new passport, of getting my driving license. And do you know what? It's good to also share that with other people. Just an ordinary thing to engage with other people. And I want us to Understand this. Let's not underestimate how important the journey is. Sometimes we can be so caught up on the end goal that we forget to bring people along the journey with us. Just this Friday, we had a program prepared for the youth group. Simon Dodson was in the group with me, and we had prepared the program. The program was ready, but there was a point in the program where you could see that one of our young people was struggling. I don't know what it was exactly, but they started to have a bit of a breakdown, probably because of the noise volume in here, probably because they're not used to the space because they've been in lockdown for such a long time. And there's always a point where you have to put the program aside and to focus on that one person and to give them your attention. And between me and Simon, we managed to adapt that program for that young person. It's really important that we don't rush our end goal, but we bring our journey along the way. Do you know these values that we're putting in place? It's not so that tomorrow we go, yes, we've ticked that box, but it's for this next season in our life, for this journey as a church that we're going through, that we bring people along. If there's one thing I want you to take away from today's sermon, it's this. Jesus invited people to walk with him through his life, to try and be the best example to others around him. Even when life was tough, when life was hard, he still brought people along with him. Who can we invite through the journey and share our Christian walk with? Just like other people I know and love, Jesus had this way of challenging the status quo. He was not afraid to challenge other people. And just how I want to challenge us as a church to be better in relationship with others, to not isolate ourselves. People naturally respond to a challenge you give if you have a better quality of relationship with that person. Is that not true? Sometimes I've challenged young people on their behavior. And if I've not known them very well, they do not take it very well. They'll storm off. Okay. But if it's somebody that I know for a long time and I challenge them, they step up to that challenge. And when we're sharing our faith and when we're sharing stuff with other people, and even people within the body, there are people that are less mature in their faith, they're new Christians, and they need help along the way. If we can build up a relationship with them that is not a judging relationship, but we can challenge them, we will have a greater impact on the lives of people. If people respect us, they're more likely to take this level of constructive criticism. Equally, if we shy away from people and do not challenge and encourage people in their faith, there is a chance they will also not grow in their faith. Last time we spoke about conflict, didn't we? Speaking positive words over people. And it is absolutely key that when we challenge people, that we do it out of love. We do it out of lack of judgment, and we do it out of close relationship with those people. Let's spend time building up relationship with people so that we can build them up in their faith as well. Jesus had this relationship with his disciples where he could just be honest. As this relationship was built up over time and they could see God, Jesus was doing some amazing miracles, they were like, this is a guy I want to follow. This is a guy that has amazing standards. This is the kind of person I want to be like. Jesus could challenge them more and more. The deeper he got in their relationship with them, Jesus challenged them more. I wonder today, in your relationship with God, is God challenging you more? I think that he probably is. As you're growing in faith, and I don't think we can ever stop growing, I think Jesus can challenge us. I want to end by saying this. In the body of Christ, that's all of us here, okay? We have some absolutely amazing talent. You may not see it in yourself, but as you mature in your faith, let me tell you, God can use you. God can use every single one of you, however old or young you are. And one of the strategies this year is that we want to build and encourage leaders in the church. And you may be thinking, but Josh, I'm no leader. I cannot possibly be a leader. But let me suggest to you, just for a moment, that maybe you are. You can be a leader by example. You can be a leader just by the fact that you are in close relationship with God. If that priority there is first, that your relationship with God is there, people will see God in you as well. By your lifestyle, you can show people a better way of living. Part of that lifestyle is giving up some of your time to invest in other people. That is very difficult at this point in time where we find ourselves in lockdown, where we find ourselves still busy with work, where financial difficulties, it's hard to find time for people. But if you actually manage to invite people along the way, you may be surprised at who actually follows you. You may be surprised that actually people quite like you. That people think you're actually more normal than what you actually are. Some of you have been in life groups for many years. And I wonder, is there a moment now in these life groups? Some of you have been there for such a long time. You've been receiving stuff in life groups for a very long time, but now is the time for you to start leading. Do you know, I'll happily say this across the church, we have a shortage of life group leaders. In the youth group of Friday, we have a shortage of people to disciple our young people. And there are so many people I've had approach me at different times and say, I'm not really sure what I can give or what I can bring. I think the one thing that we can bring is our time. I think people really appreciate it when we put our time and our energy into people. Let me tell you, in God's kingdom, you don't need a theological degree. And you don't need to know all the answers. Do you know, it's really good to say sometimes, if somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer, just say, I'm really sorry, I don't know. But let's work it out together. Let's go to somebody. Let's find somebody who knows more than me, who's wiser than me. Trust me, there's a lot of people that are wiser than me. We need to be quick to listen to those people and slow to speak. I hope over the last 2 weeks that this might have actually inspired you. I know I'm not always the best of speakers, but I'm improving, hopefully. You've heard worse. Yes, that's what keeps you going. But I just want to encourage you. And I see it already in people. There are people in this room that invest a lot of time in people and encouraging others. But what would happen if we all did it? What if every single person in this room had somebody that they invested in? I think this church would grow exponentially. I think we would bless other churches by it as well. Do you know, it's interesting. I've had interesting connection with some of the other churches since I've been on Churches Together. There's South Crest up the road, and we're doing the live streaming here, and they've needed new sound equipment in, and we're starting to help them with that. Just a simple little thing, but it helps other people, and it helps them reach other people. This is us helping make disciples who are making disciples. We're enabling people and strengthening people to be able to make disciples. There are other churches out there that need help. There are other people out there that need help. And we can be those people if we just give them some time. Should we just end by praying? And then I think we've got a closing song, which I think is, yes, I will. Are you going to speak beforehand? No. Okay. Fabulous. Father God, I thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, I thank you first and foremost that you love us and that we love you. And Lord, help us to love others more. Father, help us to be in a lifestyle which is a great lifestyle. We enjoy being the best person of ourselves for you. But Lord, help us not to be self-centered, Lord Jesus, where we don't focus on other people as well. Lord, help us to be a people that invite people on the journey, to eat with us, to share ministry together, to invest in the lives of other people. And Father, I pray as we go away today, Lord, help us to be the best version of ourselves, but also be the best version of ourselves for other people as well. In your wonderful and precious name. Amen.